Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, which are actually all the same thing. God gave Adam the dominion of this planet. And that dominion was passed down from generation to generation, but everybody was not righteous in their generations. Some did unrighteously. They did like Cain. They brutalized their neighbor. They oppressed their brothers. They controlled. They went out of the presence of God. They plowed the sons of Adam into rows of control and manipulation and under the authority of men like Nimrod and Lamech and Cain and pharaohs and Caesars. God wants you to be free souls under Him, with His laws written in your hearts and written in your minds, so that you seek the ways of the Father and do as He desires righteously to one another. If you refuse to seek the righteous ways of the Father, instead seek the ways of the fathers of the earth, which is the ways of force and control and power over others, you will not be saved, because you have not repented. You have not turned back, and therefore you cannot receive the grace of the Father. And people do not understand that. They see the word law and they don't understand it. We do all kinds of shows talking about legal systems and lawful systems and natural law and man-made laws. The handwritten ordinances, those are man-made laws. But the law of God must be written upon your hearts and upon your minds. And that is evident when you lead righteous lives, keeping the commandments, not from the outside, but from the inside out. We have been doing this series now for 15 hours. This is the 16th hour of the Diverse Lust series. Diverse Lust, varied desires. People want the comforts of the world. They want the comforts of the season. They want the comforts of the systems they create for themselves. And they must be willing to fast from that and seek the ways of the Father, because what they have created is becoming a pigmire. And they are wallowing in it so much so that they don't even know the ways of righteousness. But they think they know God. They have their churches and their synagogues and their mosques, and they have their form of godliness, which is self-righteousness. They say, we are righteous because we think of this God or that God or Allah or Yah or Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever. But they do not do the ways of the Father. So what are the ways of the Father? To live by faith, to live by hope, by charity, not by force, not by oppressing your neighbor, but by walking in God's grace, because we walk in God's righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Paul spoke to men who were doing that when he said, brethren. He spoke to men who had turned around and repented of the ways of Cain and Nimrod and Lamech, of the evil Pharaoh, of the oppressive Caesars. And they were following the ways of the Christ that came to set them free. And Paul calls them brethren, and he hones their understanding of the gospel of Christ by bringing to them more detailed information. But if you disband and disassociate the gospel of Paul from the gospel of Christ, and imagine that Paul is talking to you even though you have not yet repented and sought the ways of Christ and the Father, then you are deceived. He is not talking to you unless you are those who are willing to repent. You must turn around, turn away, turn toward the ways of Christ. And so we've had this long conversation in this page, and in the bottom of the page we have just these quotes from Binney, who wrote on Facebook trying to present his personal eschatology, which he gets from the pastors of prophet and the prophets of profiteering. And he repeats them and he uses these quotes, but he uses them out of the context of what was really going on at the time. And we show on that page, we have the Christian conflict with the religions of the day, which were religions of the state. The temples were religions of the state, and that's where you signed up, paid in, and the genius of the emperor decided what benefits you would get and what benefits you would not get. If you were a widow, you would get these benefits. If you were this, you would get those benefits. If you were whatever it was, they would provide for your needs according to the handwritten ordinances of the genius of Caesar. Before that, it was the Senate. And in Judea, it was the Sanhedrin. But they said they had no king but Caesar, so they conformed to the system of Caesar. But all the Christians got the baptism of Christ and were cast out of that system and said, there is another king, one Jesus. But he is the king who did not come to rule one man over another like Cain and Lamech and Nimrod. He was a king that wanted to return every man to his family and to his possessions, and the people formed congregations and made a record of who was in what congregation and who had what minister, and the ministers formed congregations of ministers, and they formed a network so that if there was a blight or a plague or a dearth in another land, they could move funds instantly to that land. We've talked about some of the charitable institutions that have been created recently. Health shares and this Mercury One that was created by Glenn Beck, that is supposed to rush trucks to a tornado or hurricane site and assist. And there's lots of institutions that do those kinds of charitable acts, and that's good. But the church should be the forefront of that. And if they organize like the early church, like early Israel, like the Teutons, like most of the people throughout history who lived in free governments, they would form a network of small, intimate congregations who cared about the next congregation as much as they cared about themselves, because that is the law of Christ that must be written on your hearts and on your minds if you are to be truly saved. Because unless you're letting him write that upon your hearts and your minds, then he is not with you, and you are not with him. Christ died that you might be saved, that you might return to the ways of the Father. If you do not return, if the devil tells you, you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to change in any way, shape, or form, you just have to believe, and then bingo, you're saved. That is a demonic gospel that has deluded people and led them back into the elements and rudiments of the world. We need to repent of that. So when Benny writes, mixing law and grace confuses the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth. No, it doesn't. Because the law that we are mixing is the law of God being written upon your hearts and upon your minds. If you will not let God write upon your heart and upon your mind, how can you imagine that you are saved by grace? You have not even let him in. If you have let him in to write upon your heart and upon your mind, how can you stop but doing righteousness? Your works will be alive, but your works are dead. You're dead to the ways of Christ. You are living in your vain imaginations, imagining that you are saved, but on your way to destruction. And it is time to repent of that and rightly divide the word of truth. Benny writes, the body is not to follow the instructions given to the 12, but rather the instructions given to the very humble chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul was giving them the instructions that were given to the 12. He said, I preach Christ first amongst you. I am preaching Christ, he says, over and over again. Like we saw Jesus, I have begotten you through the Gospels. The gospel, whose gospels? Christ's gospels. These are brethren because they have turned around and turned toward the ways of Christ. even as I also am of Christ. He is a follower of Christ. He didn't preach a different gospel. You have been deceived if you think that Paul did not preach Christ. He says he did. He said he was not ashamed of it. And now he was talking to those that heard that preaching, turned around, and were going another way. If you haven't, he's not talking to you. 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. But were these the fathers of the earth? That Christ said, you are not to call any man father, but my Father who is in heaven? Because every elder of every congregation, every core group of the church, was a father in his own house. He did not exercise authority, but it was through his sacrifice that they were able to feed the hungry and care for the needy of their society during some of the most dramatic social breakdowns of the Roman Empire. Christians did well. Even under persecution, they continued to do well. He says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Is he not following Christ? You see him bringing funds to give to others to help them in need, because the church was the entire social welfare of these people. It was no different than any other country, except in one factor. They did it by love for one another. Your ministers who say, bring money up to me, and he dances on the altar on the money you bring up. Is he taking that money and caring for the needy of that society, of that church? Or is he taking that money and caring for himself and making himself rich? $1 million salaries for pastors of churches. Unbelievable. Completely the opposite of what Christ is. And you think these men are prophets? They are deceivers. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. In other words, he reaches out beyond the immediate congregations he serves to be this evangelist. But he is preaching the gospel of Christ. Repent, turn around. His conversations with the treasurer of Corinth was saying, this is the way you guys need to do this. Corinth once did that. When Athens went to them and said, hey, you know, we'll help you build walls. They said, we are our walls. But now they were being tempted by the ways of Rome, the Corbin of Rome, of creating systems that operated not by faith, hope, and charity, but by forcing you through handwritten ordinances where you signed up and had to pay in. Those systems eventually go bankrupt because the thieves and robbers break in and they use up those funds, and the priests spend them on themselves. They are not priests like Christ who come to serve, to wash feet. They are men who come to make themselves rich at your foolish expense. And you do it. You workers of iniquity, repent of that. You tempt these men like Israel tempted Saul. You give them too much power. You put them on pedestals, golden pedestals, and pulpits of fiscal irresponsibility. You should be caring for one another, not building these edifices of lies. 1 Timothy 1:15 through verse 16, this is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. These modern Christians don't know what it is to believe. You say, oh, if you believe on Christ, do as he said. Stop violating the commandments. Stop looking to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. Because Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. But it is. And so you are not following Christ. You are not followers of Christ. You are not followers of Paul, who followed Christ. And he wrote, believe on him, Jesus, and the instructions given to Paul, and not work for life everlasting. What are you talking about? Paul said, if they're not doing these things, get ye from them. Don't be a part of them. Turn away. Paul says, you're saying you don't have to do these things. You can do whatever you want. Bunk. Lies. Satanic lies saying, you are saved. You will not die. But you will. Because the law is not written on your hearts and on your minds. If it was, you wouldn't be doing as you are doing. This is how you know. You know, the devil can put on a good show. He can have people out there jumping and gyrating and people claiming to be healed and all sorts of things. He is a master of deception. But tell me this, where's the love? Oh, don't turn a blind eye to the fact that you rob widows and orphans, because Christ mentioned that for sure. Paul was not forgetful of that either. Then he writes, Paul was the first to glory in the cross. Paul was the first to be given the gospel of grace of God. He calls it my gospel. He calls it my gospel in Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, and in 2 Timothy 2:8. We've already gone through that. His my gospel. But we can touch on it again if poor Benny can't seem to figure out what Jesus was talking about and what Paul was talking about, because they were both talking about the same thing. So Romans 2:16, he says, secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's what he's giving you. The secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. What secrets of men? Whether or not they truly believe. Are they really believers? Because if they're really believers, then would not the law be written on their hearts and their minds? Would not they be doers of the works of Christ? But no, these false gospel people say we want to do away with any idea that works are important. Works tell us whether you really are a believer. If you are not doing the will of the Father, which you cannot do without Christ in you, not consistently. If you're not doing the will of the, you're not his brethren, and you're not Israel, and you are not saved. Doing the will is not what earns you salvation. It is evidence of your salvation. You see, these people are deceived. They're wondering why, you know, I believe in Jesus, but I keep going out and sinning and whoring around and coveting and doing all these things, but I'm saved. No, you don't really believe. And there's your evidence. James tells you that. There's your evidence that you don't really believe. You are deceived. And it's important that somebody rebuke you. And the whole society is doing contrary to what the early church was doing. The whole modern church, these pastors have led the whole modern church to the benefactors who exercise authority, told them to make covenants with them, bow down and serve them. But on the weekend, you can tithe to me. How unbelievable is that? It's the same thing going on in Israel, like I said. The Israel nation, now there are many good people there, and there are many bad people, just like any other nation, no different than any other nation. I'm not picking on them. The only reason I bring them up is because people say that's Israel. If that was Israel, wouldn't it be doing things like Moses said? It's not. It's not doing what Moses said. Oh, they have men with long beards and funny hats and black clothes, and they call themselves rabbi, but are they as a nation doing what the nation of Moses did? Are they supporting the entire nation through free will offerings? Moses did. Are they drafting their sons and daughters? Well, actually, they were told by Samuel that that's what they would do when they rejected God. If they rejected God, then they can't be Israel, because Israel is where God prevails. When David drafted the young men, he said he had sinned against God. They seem to do it, and they think it's okay. When they were under income tax in Egypt, Moses led them out of that and said to live by loving one another through free will offerings. Are they doing that in Israel today? Are they living by free will offerings? No. they are under a heavy progressive income tax, far greater than they were when they were in Egypt. So no, that's not Israel. It's just a place that calls itself Israel. And if you help them out, that's your choice. But Jesus talks about bringing people into the kingdom who help the brethren. And who are the brethren? Jesus tells us that the brethren are those who do it the will of the Father. Those men aren't doing the will of the Father. But neither are the modern Christians. So I'm here to be equal opportunity condemnation of the people. The fact is you guys got it wrong. I'm here to give you the hard message. I'm not here to tickle your ears. What can you do about it? Come together with those who are willing to start to do the will of the Father and learn how to do it better and better and better. And when you do, like the man with 2 talents and 3 talents, God will give you more. If you do nothing with the knowledge that God has given you today, then expect it to be taken away from you. Because Christ said that's the way we do it here. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Who is that? And the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's Paul. My gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mysteries, which was kept secret since the world began, but was not secret from the apostles. They received those messages. That's how Peter knew that Paul was going to tell you of things hard to understand. Because he knew he was going to reveal to brethren the mysteries, all of which are not explained in the epistles, but referred to once you understand who he's talking to. He's talking to the brethren who were following another king, one Jesus, and no longer applying for benefits from the Corban of Rome or Judea, but had a Corban based on faith, hope, and charity. Therefore, it was a Corban that made the word of God to none effect, which allowed them to survive the decline and fall of both Judea and the Roman Empire. What's going to help you if you're not going to follow the ways of Christ? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Seed of David. That makes him the Christ, the Messiah. Everywhere you see the word Christ, that's the word Messiah. Remember that Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Isn't that according to Peter's gospel? That Jesus was raised from the dead? Nothing special about that. There's one gospel. There's one message, and the gospel of Jesus Christ tells you to repent, turn around, go the other way, and you need to do that. So Benny doesn't know what he's talking about. Benny wrote, Christ died and paid for all, he says out sins, but he means our sins. So if Christ died and paid for all of our sins, which sins didn't he die and pay for? He's paid for all of our sins, but doesn't mean that you have access to salvation. You have to repent. He died that you might be saved. Might be saved. You still have something you have to do. Not to earn salvation, but to remove that which blocks you from salvation, which blocks out the divine inspiration of Christ to write upon your hearts and upon your minds. And he cannot write upon your hearts and your mind if you're going to remain hard-hearted and think that you have the right to take away from your neighbor through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, and take away from your neighbor and your neighbor's grandchildren. Now, why do I keep saying that? Go read Not So Secure Socialism. Social Security Program in every nation of the world is bankrupt. In every nation, including the United States, is bankrupt. It has no money in it whatsoever. It's not bringing in enough money to cover what it owes because there is no separation of funds. There wasn't at the time of Caesar and Pontius Pilate, and there isn't today. According to the Supreme Court justices, time and time again, there's no division of funds. If your treasury is operating in the red, your social welfare is operating in the red. That means that any money they pay out, they are taking from your children and your grandchildren. And you are biting out of your neighbors. You are cursing your children with debt. Now, am I telling everybody on Social Security to stop taking? I'm just telling you what's happening. You have to go to God and say, what can I do? Well, one thing you can do is start gathering together with the faithful, with those people who want to live without taking from their neighbor, who are willing to lay down their lives like Christ because Christ is in them. Now, who are those people? Hard to find. They're hidden in the brush, just like the sheep I talked about in the last show. Out there, I'm looking, I can't see them anywhere. They're down in the brush. And then all of a sudden, they start coming out. That's what we need to be doing, coming out. We're all coming out of our closet saying, we believe in Jesus Christ and what he actually said. And we believe in Paul, who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and was not ashamed of it, and preached it first. And those who followed the gospel of Jesus Christ, he called brethren. And those who did not follow, yet said they believed, he called them foolish. Benny wrote, God is not sending anyone a strong delusion at this present time, except for you, Benny, who's under a strong delusion, but instead desires all men to be saved. Absolutely. He desires that all men be saved, even when he sends a strong delusion. He still wants them to be saved. He wants them to repent. And that strong delusion is everywhere. Everywhere. And even the very elect would have been deceived. Except by what? The grace of God. He will send a strong delusion after the body of Christ, says Benny, leaves this earth, but not now. He's making this up. He's grabbing bits and pieces here. I've always seen this with this particular individual, that he rationalizes things. He's not a very good reasoner because the pieces of the puzzle don't really have to fit. He can leap giant obstacles with a single bound, you know, that he puts this piece together and this piece together and he puts this piece down too and he says they fit, but they don't really fit. It's never been a problem with him. He can just skip over that they don't fit with everything he does. And he's always having these revelations that often come the hard way. You know, when he gets his brains beat out in a boxing ring and he realizes that there's something else here besides training. You know, there's a spiritual element to all this. I'm doing this for the wrong reason, and I'm going to get beat the tar out of. Well, this same thing with the religion that he has created with the help of the pastors for profit, and this vain imagination that men create and alter the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Paul, which are the same. All men are deluded to some degree, yes, but God is the one who will in the future send the strong delusion. Well, you know, we could probably look at that. Maybe we'll look at that in a minute. We need to take a break right now, though. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back to the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we may go back to 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and look at the strong delusion, but let's get through this and see what amount of time we have left. 1 Timothy 2:3, 6, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, which is what I've been trying to tell Benny for years. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, he clearly reads more into that than is really there. And he goes down and quotes 2, 6, 7, 8, 11, and 12 in 2 Thessalonians, and we'll look at that when we get back to 2 Thessalonians, if we have enough time in this session. But Benny wrote, God cannot be sending and causing people to have strong delusion and desire all men to be saved at the same time. Absolutely can. God wants you to be saved. He never stops wanting you to be saved. And he sends a strong delusion so that you can awaken to it. It's like sending you a bad dream to wake you up. You know, you ever have that where you need to wake up, you know, like there's smoke in the house and there's a fire starting and all of a sudden you're dreaming something that just forces you to wake up. Your subconscious or the spirit or whatever is trying to wake you up and send you that dream so you wake up and then you realize, oh my gosh, the house is on fire. So God is sending the strong delusion not to deceive you. There is no deception in God. He is sending you a set of circumstances where you will be strongly deluded so you can see that you cannot do this on your own, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit. Anyway, Benny later wrote, also, it is not God that is sending the strong delusion at this present time of grace and reconciliation. In fact, Satan is blinding those that God desires to be saved, and he's right. But how he's blinding them? He's blinding them with this false do-nothing gospel that says, no, you can be the brethren by thinking a thought. You don't have to do the will of the Father. Yet Jesus said, those who are my brethren are those who do it the will of the Father. So they're completely contradictory. But they don't see that because, guess what? They don't want to see it. And he goes back and he quotes 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's where Benny is at. The gods of this world have blinded him, so that he believes not. And why? Because he has diverse lusts. He likes the benefits of this world. And he is willing to covet his neighbor's goods through these systems and say, well, wait a minute, I'm not coveting anybody's goods. I paid in. It is a system of Corbin. And he's been sent the articles that show you what Corbin was. Very clearly, the evidence is coming out all the time. Historians are discovering that Corbin in Rome and Greece and everywhere else was a system where you put money into a treasury, usually by the ordinances of men that you were subject to because you signed up and you built up this treasury that took care of the needy of your society by force. John the Baptist said, no, do it by charity. Moses said, do it by charity. Abraham said, do it by charity. Christ said, do it by charity. Paul says, if you don't have that charity, you got nothing. But these guys say, oh, we just believe. We still support our needy through men who exercise authority, but we're the faithful. No, you're not. You're under a strong delusion that you're the faithful. And all the problems of the world and all the governments of the world begin with this vain thought, where you would have liberty from the responsibility of caring for the needy of your society. By that lie, they have delivered you back into the bondage of the elements and rudiments of the world. Exactly. There's your delusion. Benny wrote, these people are lost. Yes, they are. Along with you, Benny. But he says, thy can be saved. They can be saved, I think is what he's saying. If they believe, but they are lost if they believe not. But they don't believe. They don't know what to believe. They don't know. Paul had already preached Christ. They don't know. Benny wrote, Satan is the blinder at this present time. Yes, Benny. And he has blinded you. God will send a strong delusion after this dispensation of pure grace without works ends. This dispensation, that's more of that pastors for profit eschatology. That is, you're getting this eschatology from pastors who are not doing what Christ said. They're not even doing what Paul said. They've preached this antiseptic gospel, removing the gospel from what was actually going on in the early church. You know, when you got baptized, you still were collecting the benefits of the world, going to public school and health care and WIC programs and all these things. You were baptized, you got dunked. But when the early Christians got baptized, they couldn't participate in those systems anymore. They had to take care of one another through that thing that Paul says you have to have, charity, which is love. Until you're taking care of all the needy of your congregation with love, you aren't there yet. Can you get there? If you strive, you persevere, and seek the righteousness of God, you might make it. So anyway, I promised you that we'd go back to 2 Thessalonians, and now we beseech you. Well, that's the beginning of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, because they've already finished a thought that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're talking of our God, our Lord. Caesar was called God because he was the appointer of all the judges throughout the empire that decided whether or not you were following the handwritten ordinances of the Senate and Caesar. If you didn't, you could be arrested and thrown in jail if you weren't following his handwritten ordinances, if you were subject to his jurisdiction. What you have said lawfully, if you had signed up in their system, you had to pay into their Corbin. You signed up at the Temple of Saturn and other temples, and you got your benefits in little buildings along the side. Herod had built the same system in Judea some 50, 60, 70 years before, and you entered into his system of social welfare by getting Herod's baptism through his ministers, and that system was managed through the synagogues, the congregation of the people, and the treasury was in the temple. And they call that treasury by two names. There was one they called the Gastophon, which is the royal treasury, and there was another one they called Corban, which was the treasury for social welfare. Now, in reality, those two are not separate treasuries. They're just left and right pockets of a government that exercised authority one over the other. Jesus was seen in the Gastophon instructing the ministers because he was the king. He was in the treasury instructing the ministry. He wasn't out on the street walking around doing stuff. He was actually in the treasury, and he was issuing orders in the temple not to carry vessels anymore. What does that mean? There's several different interpretations. One is that it was weapons, referring to the guards could not use weapons to intimidate people in the payment of taxes, which was their tithe, into what the Gastophon, where he's instructing the ministers. And then somebody else said it was actually transferring funds around, because these vessels, you would move funds from this room to that room, and he didn't want that anymore. Probably because they were conducting an audit. I mean, that's what scribes were accountants, and now he's instructing these guys, find out where's all the money going. Well, I can tell you where it's going. It's going to these money changers who are living in lavish abodes, collecting some, what they figured was about $90 million in silver by, actually, standards quite a few years ago, because that's when I wrote the book and explained how this, in Thy Kingdom Come, how this all worked. But we know that these priests were living in quarters that were more lavish than the king himself. Why? Because they were skimming off the top. And you couldn't do anything about it because you had to pay in. And they were making you pay more and more and more. You had to pay in. But that isn't the way Christ wanted you to do it. That's not the way Moses taught you. That's not the way Abraham taught you. He based it on free will offerings. You had the tithe. Nobody kicked in your door. But you picked the minister you wanted to tithe to. And you say, I'm going to tithe to him because I think he's a good guy. And you would tithe to him. Now, if you acted foolishly and took kickbacks, you were going to end up with the wrong people in the position of controlling the Corban, the sacrifice, who would have the reins of control of the Corban, the treasury for your social welfare. But if you pick men who are men of service, you would get... And they pick men who are men of service, your entire system would be operating as a circulatory system of charity throughout the entire nation, not put into a central vault where it trickles down back down to the people. This is what they were doing. So anyway, in 2 Thessalonians, which you better get on quick or we won't get to the end of it, now we beseech you, brethren, these brethren are the ones doing the will of the Father, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. In other words, we're gathering together in these congregations of record to be the social welfare system and not to be dependent upon the fathers of the earth or the priests of the Sanhedrin. We are doing this out of love. He says that ye be not soon shaken in your minds or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of the Messiah is at hand. Now, right now. Let no man deceive you by any means that the day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed in the son of perdition. So, the kingdom of heaven was at hand, but the day of Christ, this one that they're talking about where there's this like big judgment day, unless there be a falling away. Well, there was a falling away back at that time before the fall of Jerusalem, but because there was a persecution that came at the fall of Jerusalem. And James was thrown off a wall and there would be this falling away. And there was revealed a son of perdition at that time. It's going to happen again, now, again. This is just part of the cycle. These things happen over and over again. And once you understand the process, you can be a prophet too. If you get the process, you can be a prophet too. Because there's a falling away already. The modern Christians have fallen away. You know, just 200 years ago, if you needed any social welfare, you didn't go to the government. You went to church. You lost your job or lost anything, you went to church. You don't do that anymore. Because now, what used to be your religion, the fulfillment and performance of your duty to your fellow man, is now done by the men who exercise authority. That's your church. Those bureaucrats are your priests. They're your ministers. They're the ones who give you your daily bread with an EBT card. You see? It's really simple. You've gone away from what the church was just 200 years ago, 150 years ago, maybe even 100 years ago. You've gone away from that, and now you go to the men who exercise authority, even though Christ said it was not to be that way with you. And you tell me you are Christians. You are not, because you do not have the law written on your heart. You are under a strong you have been deceived. Now, knowing that you have been deceived is a blessing, because now you get to repent. Let no man deceive you, he says, by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away. First, it is. It's happened. You've fallen away again. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, actually, that's not quite translated correctly, but we'll leave that go. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. For mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. This was present time. It will apply this time too. Just like there was a mark of the beast back then, when the beast was in power, and there is a mark of the beast now, which we'll cover in our next series on confronting the beast. There's a mark of the beast now that is the mark of the image of the beast. Mark of the beast, mark of the image of the beast, same thing. And how will you recognize it? Is it a chip? A lot of people think it is. A lot of those prophets for profit think that it's a chip. Are they right? Well, we'll look at that at another time. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, the adversary, with all power and signs and lying wonders. They're going to be healing. They're going to be doing all kinds of things in their churches, all kinds of wonders, but it's all of Satan. How do you know it's of Satan? Because it's not according to the ways of Christ. The fruit is not of Christ. It is of the Pharisees. The word of God in them is being made to none effect, because they're not doers of the word. If you're not a doer, you're going to lose everything. Just like the guy with one talent was not a doer with what he was given. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't really love the truth. And the truth is, you should not be wanting anything to be provided to you that is not given freely. Freely give, freely receive. If you're receiving benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other, you are not freely giving and receiving. You are giving by force and receiving by force. And you are cursing your children if your system is in debt, and you show me what system is not in debt. That they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They don't really believe in the truth. They say they do, but they don't. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But it has to be the real truth, the truth that Christ gave you, the truth that Paul preached first, the truth that was written in the hearts and minds of the brethren, because we saw evidence of it in what they were doing. They would slip. They were having problems. And Paul came to reveal the mysteries of where they needed to straighten up and strive, as Christ said. Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught by us, whether by word or our epistles, our letters. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort our hearts and establish you in every good word and work. How does he do that? Because he writes upon your hearts. Comfort your hearts. Allow him to write upon your hearts. What is the Holy Spirit called? The Comforter. You see? So we go back up to verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What cause? Go back one verse. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They don't love the truth of Christ's gospel that says, if you want everlasting life, keep the commandments. They remove that because they don't love that idea. That's too scary that I have to keep the commandments. And of course, you could if Christ was in you. If Christ is not in you, it's going to be really hard. But you don't love that. You don't love the idea of keeping the commandments. As many as love me, keep my commandments, he says. You don't love that. You don't want to have to keep the commandments. You just want to be able to believe and be saved. There's your strong delusion. That's where you've gone. And you need to repent. So how do you repent? How do you turn around? You're in a system. You're back in the bondage. You're enmeshed in the elements of the world. And the rudiments of the world meaning the constitutional order and systems of governments, the fathers of the earth, go read it, call no man father, you're enmeshed in that. How do you get free of that? Repent. Turn around. Start heading back to your father's house with the intention of serving your father by serving one another in love. Gather together in congregations, core, what we call them, congregations of recorded elders. That's men, heads of families, men who are seeking to do the will of the Father and want to create a network of charity. Do you have to start taking it over entirely at one time? No. But you have to start working in that direction. It will take lots of people organizing. There's expenses, there's overhead and everything. But you don't send everything to me. You send it to the ministers of record that you choose. You look out amongst yourselves and you pick men you choose that you think are men of service. And you help them help others. You could help them help yourself, but the way to help them help yourself is to help them help others. Because it's not about saving yourself. Christ didn't come to save himself. He came to save others. So if you're going to have the character of Christ, you have to try to do that. You're going to find that hard to do at times. You're going to find that very hard to do at times. But then, in each of those moments, you may repent. Remember verse 12, the one right after verse 11 there? Actually, that's at verse 12 in chapter 3. Not after that, verse 11. Well, let's read 11 real quick. We're really out of time. But anyway, let's read 12. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, that means our King, our ruler, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Be not weary in this. You need to do that. Stop eating and taking a bite out of your neighbor. Till we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.